We're going to open up. This is the first night of our revival with a Bible study. Thank God for Pastor Starling, who's no stranger to us. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Starling. He can open us up in his own way. Amen.
Well, thank God. It's a pleasure for me to be here. And we just appreciate CVC and the ministry and everything that the Lord is doing in your lives. And it's important for us to come together to discuss, you know, God's word in times like these in which we are faced with in our society. Man, it is so important, the role that we play. And I thank God for all of us. And let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for the power and the authority of your word. May our hearts continue to grow and flourish as you so desire. Yes. Let your will be done in this ministry and in all ministries around the world. Yes. In Christ's name, amen. But we thank God, you know, for his word. And I want to read something. This is a part of a transcript where, it says, according to the U.S. Census Bureau surveys, Americans have been spending less time with friends and more time alone since before the pandemic, which has only intensified the sense of social isolation. Lauren Santos, a cognitive scientist and psychologist professor at Yale University, joins John Yang to discuss the health effect of loneliness and what can be done about it. And so this is part of this transcript of them interacting with each other. And John Yang says, people with robust social connections are more likely to live longer, healthier, and happier lives. But according to the Census Bureau surveys, people were spending less time with friends and more time alone even before the pandemic, which only intensifies the sense of social isolation and loneliness. Lauren Santos is a cognitive scientist and sociologist professor at Yale University. And this is this gentleman introducing her. And he says, where her class, Psychology and the Good Life, is one of the school's most popular courses. She's turned it into a podcast, The Happiness Lab. Laura Santos, how pervasive is the problem in America right now? And so she's talking about the problem in America, and she says, and this is Lauren Santos, her words, I mean, it's pretty bad. It's often talked about as an epidemic, you know. Some surveys reveal that around 60% of people in the U.S. right now report feeling lonely or on a pretty regular basis. And that's pretty devastating from a public health perspective. She says, this is worse than rates of obesity, and this is worse than rates of diabetes. And so there's an issue of loneliness that people are experiencing, you know, in the United States. But then when we look at the contrast to what God's word says in our scripture that we're talking about today within Matthew 6:6, where Jesus is telling us to get alone, to have time alone and away from and withdraw. And so we see what's happening within our society, but when we turn to God's word, we must understand, you know, what our role is and the significance of our role. I am so glad and thankful that we are on this side in terms of representing the Lord and having the opportunity to pray for others and understanding the power of prayer, the significance of prayer, and the influence of prayer. In one prayer, Jesus, they said, Lord, his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he taught them how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name when you pray. But in this particular passage that we're covering today, he's telling them where to pray. So in one instance, he was telling them, teaching them how to pray. Now he's telling them where to pray. And so we see this in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 6. And he says, but you, when you pray, says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. Go into your room. And it says, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And so this is the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples about where they are and where we are to pray. And several things we can pull and draw from this passage is one, where Christ wants us, when we pray, to be in a private place. He wants us to be in a private place. And what we're going to understand and come to realize about this private place, it is a place of transition where we're not allowing ourselves to be distracted. We're not allowing ourselves to be distracted. We're not allowing ourselves to be influenced by outside influences that may draw our attention away from what the Lord desires to impart and speak unto us. And point number two is this. He says unto them to close the door. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door. And so that further indicates that he wants some alone time with us. And that alone time with him is not beneficial for him because he doesn't change, but it's beneficial for us. It's time that we need to spend with him. And I could imagine, you know, if all of the, you know, lonely people and the people that struggle and deal with loneliness, how do they spend their time? How do they spend their time? I always used to say to my wife, when you can't sleep, you know, get up and pray. You know, get up and pray and read the Bible, and, you know, do those type of things, because God is trying to communicate with us. That's that moment he's called us away. And so the other night, I'm looking for her and she's not in the bed. She got up, Lord woke up, and she went in the room to pray. And now I can't go to sleep because she's not there. She's in there praying and seeking, you know, God. But it's important for us because we need that time to spend in the presence of the Lord. He says, when you have closed the door, absolutely, the door, and so that there's no distractions. No distractions. Why? Because the door is closed. And it's more than just being in a physical, you know, place, or being in a place where other people may or may not be there. One of the things that I do on a regular basis, you know, I go to the gym and work out, and I have a certain amount of time that I have to get my workout in. And so when I always go into the gym, I'm the only one there. That's not true. I'm not the only one there. But my mindset and my focus is not on other people around me. My focus is on what I am in there to do. I have a certain amount of time to get it done. And once I get it done, I'm out. And it's, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, you know, to anyone in that time when people say, you know, talk, you have to, you know, respond back. But my main focus is locked into what I'm doing. And at times, have you ever seen, you know, a child watching a television show and they just locked into that show and you call them and they don't hear you, you know, because they're locked in. And I mean, you could walk right around them and call out their name. They're still not locked into what you're saying because they're in that place. They're in the zone. And so Christ is saying to us, this is where we need to be. We need to have time like that. We need to have moments like that. Now, whether it lasts 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we have to start somewhere. Whether it's in our car, in our automobile, or, you know, it has to begin. It has to start somewhere because we gain value from spending time like that in the presence of the Lord. And so, once again, the scripture says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, go into that place, that mental state of being inside that secret place, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, he says, when you shut the door, when you have blocked everything out, when we're not allowing ourselves to be distracted or influenced by outside things, he says, then pray to who? Pray to your Father. Pray to your Father. And there's a wonderful example of this that we're going to get to and be able to pull certain things out of that. And it says this, our Father who is in the secret place. He wants us to be in our secret place because our Father is in that secret place, or that place, you know, where when people don't realize that he's watching, he's seeing, he's listening, he's aware of our emotional state. He is aware of our physical state. He's aware of what we're doing and where we are. And so it encourages us to get in that place and spend that time of that quiet time in the presence of the Lord, because it's beneficial, you know, to us. Another point we want to make is that it is something that we need to do. I mean, think of all of the things where people feel like they need to do, you know, like people, they say they need to eat. They need to eat. The psalmist said, Lord, I love you. I want to be in your presence. I want to be with you more than my necessary food. I love your word more than my necessary food. And so that spiritual food, that interaction, you know, we get from dwelling with the Lord. And I'll tell you, whenever we're in that place, we can expect to hear some, man, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that place.
Come on.
I mean, where we give that attention, you know, to the Lord. And when God shows up and when he comes on the scene, I mean, there are some incredible experiences. The Lord doesn't make appointments. He just shows up. I mean, like, you know, be like, well, Lord, I'm busy right now, but he just shows up and he will transition us. He will reveal himself to us. He will also take us on spiritual journeys. We will, I mean, it's absolutely the experience that we have, and what God is inviting us to is overwhelming. But this is what happens, and this is what we can expect to see. And so he says this, that that it is the hidden. He is in that hidden place, that inward, that secret place. where the Lord is, where our Heavenly Father is. It says, but you, when you pray, go into that most private room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you openly. Right. And let's see an example of this. And what is the reward? Once we spend this time in the presence of God, what can we expect to happen? What can we expect to see? And so Jesus gave this example. He's telling about this when it is recorded that most of his prayers weren't inside. Most of his prayers were outside. And he's not encouraging us to do something that he hasn't proven or he hasn't done himself. And so he says, when you pray, go into your room. But his prayer was always outside. And so, but it suggests that it is a spiritual place where we're changing a physical, natural place into a spiritual place. And so our alone time with him, it transforms the place that we're in. Oh, man. It changes it. It changes the atmosphere. It transforms the room, the place that we're in. Is transformed by our ability to get in that place and allow ourselves not to be distracted by outside influences or outside things and be locked into that communication with our Heavenly Father.
That's right.
You know, absolutely transforming. And so let's see an example of this where Jesus happened with him. In Matthew 26, verse 39, it says this, that, and this is when Jesus was in the garden and he was getting ready to, go to the suffering that was going to come upon him. It was actually him drinking of a cup of suffering. And something else that we have to be clear about, you know, Christ and the things that he experienced is that many people followed him because they ate of the food. They saw the miracles that he done, feeding the 5,000. They saw the healings that he performed. They saw the miracles that he performed, but he wouldn't play their political game when they wanted to take him by force and make him king. And so he got out from that, and they wanted to do that more than once. And when they realized he wasn't going to play, you know, their political game, or they could not use him, and many of them, you know, they even cried out when he was going in to Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And so what was the climax of Christ's entertainment? They wanted to be entertained, and many people followed him for the entertainment. You see, many people, they followed Christ for the entertainment. You know, they wanted to be entertained. And what was this climax of him being entertained? What they thought, because the same ones that was cheering him, now they say, hey, let's crucify him. What's the ultimate? They thought that was the climax of Jesus entertaining them, you see. And so many times, and while we see the state of our society, everybody loves to be entertained.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we want to be entertained. And if we're not being entertained, and if you're not playing our game, then we want to crucify you, you know. But we have to understand that there is, and so many ailments and so many things that's coming upon our society, but we have to understand what our role is to pray, you know, for people. Get into that secret place, hear from God, man, hear from God, and understand what the Lord is directing and leading us to do. Because in that place, we will find instructions. We will hear from the Lord. And I want to say this, man, the most exciting person I know is God.
Come on. That's right.
I mean, it's not boring, you know, but what we have to do, we have to break through our own stuff to get there.
That's right.
We have to break through. We have to break through us. We have to break through, you know, the stuff to get in that place. And like, and you're saying, man, can we follow when it's time to worship, when it's time to pray? Can we follow? I remember trying to follow grandmother and granddaddy. Oh, Lord. My grandparents, man, trying to follow. Man, I'd sit there on my knees and fall asleep, just like the disciples did Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Early in the morning, but they were in a heavenly place. They didn't transform the room, transform everything to a spiritual place, but we couldn't hang with that. Not at the time. We didn't know what was going on. But I mean, this is absolutely incredible, because we come to find out what did he come out with? When we look at this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, he says, he went a little further and fell on his face. And so there it is. He is entering into now what we see in Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And so we're witnessing Christ entering into his room. And we also see him shutting the door with his face. He's entering into that room and he is shutting the door. There's no outside distractions. Not even the disciples snoring distracted him. Because he was a stone throw away from them. And he told them to pray. Now listen, because something is supposed to happen when we spend that type of time in the presence of the Lord, when we spend that quality time. But we can all discern and understand, when I've spent quality time in God's presence, what does it look like when I come out? What does my behavior look like when I come out? You see? And so he says here in Matthew 26, verse 39, he says he went a little further, and what that where he went a little further, it means that he separated himself from them. He separated himself from them. And so we see where what he told us to do, when you go into your room, close the door. In other words, separate yourself. Separate yourself. And like, and they may be a stone throw away from you, but you're in a different place. You separated yourself, you know, you separated yourself to go into the presence of God and spend that quality time in praying and seeking the face of God. And so we can separate ourselves no matter where we are, no matter what location, no matter where we are, there can be a separating of ourselves from the distractions and all of the things that want to distract us. And so it says here in Matthew 26, verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my father. And there it is. And he's not paying attention to anyone else other than his father. He says, Oh, my father, if it is possible. You know, and the interesting thing about this is that the father knows that his son is not distracted. The father knows. The father knows when we're distracted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he knows when there's something greater that we deem greater and more important than staying where he is. You know, he knows. You know, when we say Father, you know, Father, but our focus is peeking at the game. Father, but when they do, hold on, Father, I'll be right back. No, but it's Father. But Jesus was locked in, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And so one of the things that we can take away from spending that time with God, entering into that room, into that secret place where we're not being distracted, we could come out with a greater sense and a willingness to do God's will. Greater sense, a greater passion. Lord, I want to do your will, not my will. And it's a place where we are able to clearly separate our will from what the will of God is.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
It's that place where we can clearly see. And there's a difference. And it's that place where our will is being transformed to become his.
Yeah.
All of those things happen when we are in that place. And so let's look at another example of, and Christ was encouraging the disciples to enter into their secret place, to enter into their room. And he said, pray. And he gave them specific instructions on what to pray for. And then it says, your Father will reward you. What is the reward? What is the reward? And here is the reward. We can see clearly what the reward is. In Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Luke 22, 39. We can see clearly what is the reward. We can see clearly what the reward is. He says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. And he was, as he was accustomed, and it was his custom.
That's right.
To go to the Mount of Olives and pray. It was his custom. It was his habit. It was his behavior. And so we can see that. And again, this is Jesus telling us where we should pray, where we should pray. He gave them instructions on how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now he's telling them where we should pray. We should pray in that secret place.
Right.
You know, and I don't know anything that if we are spending that quality time in the presence of the Lord, there's, you know, certain things that try to hold on to us, they fall off. They fall off. Like, you know, some of the Lord's people, like the guy that was afraid of Jezebel, and he find himself in a cave. He was running from Jezebel. Y'all know a prophet, a man of God, was running from a woman. Well, that's not a bad idea. You know, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was a smart man. He ran. Until he got some strength from the Lord. He said, let me hang out in this cave until I get some strength from the Lord. You know, anyone confront her, she said she's going to kill him. She said she's going to chop his head off. She's going to kill that brother. So he ran into a cave. And when he was in the cave, you see, and so that fear had to be dealt with.
That's right.
And that fear that he had was dealt with, the fear that the man of God had was dealt with when he got into that secret place and sought his Heavenly Father. And God gave him clear instructions on how to deal with his fear.
That's right.
With that thing that caused him fear, God gave him clear instructions. And so when we're in that time, whatever our fears are,
that's
right, our Heavenly Father will address. And he will give us clear instructions on how to overcome it. And so like the article that I read where people want to socialize and because of their separation from each other, it's what do you do when you separate? When you're not in that audience or group or around them, what do you do? Sometimes people don't know what to do. And what will heal them and what will bring deliverance to them, and I don't know if the psychologist was able to tell them, but the Lord. The Lord, man. And so look at this in Luke chapter 22, verse 39. This is absolutely incredible. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed to doing. So that was a habit. That was Jesus' behavior. And then it says, and his disciples also followed him. Okay. What we should pray. And so he tells them what they should pray. When they're in that secret place, he instructs them and tells them what they should pray. It says, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Yep. He prayed that they would not enter into temptation. Did y'all hear that? And so he said, listen, when we're in that secret place, we should pray that we will not enter into temptation. Why should we pray that? Because now Peter and these guys, they fell asleep. So it's clear, according to scripture, they didn't pray like the Lord said pray, because the Lord told them to pray so that they wouldn't enter into temptation. And so Peter fell asleep, and when he woke up, he tried to cut somebody's head off. How do you think he got the ear? Remember that he chopped the guy's ear off? He wasn't swinging for his ear. How can you have a sword and just swing for somebody's ear? You're going to miss. He was swinging for the head, and the guy ducked. I said, whoa! And that's how he caught the ear. The ear came off, and Jesus picked it up. But the thing of it is, he entered into that time of temptation because he did not enter into his room and pray effectively to his Heavenly Father. Had he did, he wouldn't have tried to cut the guy's head off and cut off his ear. So Christ tells us what we should pray for, that we don't enter into temptation. What type of temptation do we need to avoid? You see, when we're in that secret place, what type of temptation that tries to come at us and overtake us? For some, it may be drinking. For some, it may be substance abuse. For some, it may be anger. For some, it may be fear. For some, it may be, you know, the job situation. For others, it may be money. It may be financial. You know, they just got a kid, he went into a safe deposit box in New York, and the bank was closing, and he was locked in a safe deposit box for 10 hours, and they could not get him out of the vault until the bank opened. Jesus. It was just in the news. It was just, yeah. Now, the question I have is, what in the world is a 23-year-old have doing? What does he have in that safe deposit box? 23 years old, he got that kind of money? Did he have a bank in a safe deposit box where the bank, the doors automatically closed and locked at a certain time, and he was locked on the inside? And they won't let us know who the young man was. Who was this guy? Okay, I mean, that brother, he had to have something serious going on to be 23 years old. When I was 23, I don't even know if I knew what a safe deposit box and a bank was. Yeah. I just said, but you know, and they tried to, you know, get him out, and they was trying to cut through the concrete, but then when they came to the metal thing, they was going to burn it, you know, use a torch, but they were concerned about the smoke that would enter into the vault that he was in, because he called people, he dialed 911 while he was locked in. They say, hey, they locked me in a boat. But you're 23 years old. A 23-year-old got a safe deposit box in a bank? Man, he got, y'all think about it. Y'all got a safe deposit. Y'all at 23, anybody here have a safe deposit box? I'm just saying, for some money, you know, maybe the retired people do, you know. I'm just saying. Okay, but here we go. We gotta get this done. But this is absolutely incredible. I love the position that we're in because we have knowledge of prayer. We have knowledge of God. And God has set us apart so that we can pray and pray to him for others and come out with clear instructions on what we are to do. And it says here in Luke chapter 22, 39, and then we're going to read 40 and 41. It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and he and his disciples also followed him. And I want us to understand that he went into his room, He went into that room and he shut the door. He shut the door because I just don't want us to see that it's just a physical place or surrounding. It's whatever place we are, we transform that place into a spiritual place, you know, by us calling on the Lord and seeking the face of God. And then verse 40, it says, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And so that's the prayer. Told him, pray that you won't enter into temptation when you're in that secret place. And then he says in 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. He knelt down and prayed. And so what is the reward? The reward is when we pray, spend this time out, we do not come out, we come out humbled, we come out broken,
come on.
We come out prepared to do the will of God. We don't come out angry. We don't come out fighting people. We don't come out cursing people, but we come out humbled and broken. And whatever that situation is, we're ready to do the will and the purpose of God in that situation. He gives us more patience to deal with the stuff. Yeah. He gives us more patience. He gives us more self-control to deal with the nonsense, the pressures of life. He gives us that ability. That ability is imparted unto us. And so, and this is the reward that we have openly, you know, because people can see, you know, you're pretty laid back or you're pretty under control. It used to be that this situation used to send you to another place. But now I'm seeing something different, you know, because we spent that time in the presence of the Lord. And when I was, you know, young, I was working at a company called Ball Glass, and I had a sledgehammer, and we had to take the hammer. We had to break stuff with it. Well, and there was another coworker of mine standing there, and he was watching, and, you know, we was working. We had to break some things, and I was took this sledgehammer and just breaking stuff. And one time I missed, and I hit my foot. And I, you know, I got right on foot. Boom. And he said, and he saw that, and he said, you a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, because when you hit your foot with that hammer and you didn't curse, he said, I knew there was something different about you. But it's that being in the presence of God, being in the presence of God, you know, being where he is without any distractions, without being influenced by outside stuff, you know. And at times, man, we need to just get into that place and say, Lord, it's all about you.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about you. It's all about, you know, what you want. My time with you is more important than my time with people.
Yeah.
Me being alone with you is more important than me being with a room full of people, you know, and that's where we are. And let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we just see in your word where your instructions, you know, for us is to pray without any distractions, without any outside influences, to go into that secret place. And when we have shut the door, you have instructed us to pray to our Heavenly Father. And that he is also in his secret place, that hiding place, not so visible to the carnal mind or the carnal eye, not so visible to those who live wayward lives, who walk contrary to you, but clearly desires to be seen by your children, clearly desires to make your presence known unto us. Your presence is the most powerful thing here on earth. For it is in your presence where there is healing, there is salvation, there is strength, there is courage, there is ability to stand up and do what is right. And so, Father, we lift our voices in prayer to you. May we follow you. May we follow your instructions and enter into that secret place. And when we close the door, may we commune with you, with our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for your will and your purpose being done in our lives. We pray for this world. We pray for this society, that your will and purpose will be done. We pray, Father, for those who are suffering, those who are hurting, those who are broken, those who are troubled in their mind. Father, we stand against wars and fightings and rumors of wars. And we pray that your peace would sweep the land.
Yes.
We know that you are coming. You are coming. You are soon and coming King.
Yes, sir.
And we lift our voices unto you. And we magnify you. We glorify you, Father.
Yes,
we magnify you. You are worthy of praise. Yes. We glorify your name. We minister unto you. We bless you, Father, with all of our hearts. We magnify you. Father, we enter into that secret place and we shut the door, Father. We shut the door. We will not be distracted, by, Father, by social media platforms. We will not be distracted by Instagram, by Twitter. Father, we will not be distracted by Facebook. We will not be distracted by YouTube. We will not be distracted by the performances of the world. But Jesus had a constant communication, a constant awareness of you spending time in your presence, Father, and you blessed him. You ministered unto him. And Father, we realize that it is so critical for us to spend that quiet time in your presence and minister unto you.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for only you can draw it out of us, draw our hearts to you, draw our minds to you, draw our thoughts to you.
Yes.
Father, may you be pleasing with our offering that we bring to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your purpose and your purpose being done in our lives.
Yes.
We surrender all unto you, Lord Jesus. We do not consider the things that trouble us to be more important than you. We do not consider, Father God, our job to be more important than you, than our relationship with you. We do not consider things to be more important than our relationship with you. Father, for you are in that secret place, and we give our undivided attention to you, and we cry out unto you. We thank you, Father, for the things that you have blessed us with. We thank you, Father, for this revival. We thank you, Lord God, for those who will be bringing your word. We thank you, Father, for your transforming power. We thank you, Father, for bringing us to a place where we are willing to submit ourselves to you, even as your son had submitted to you, and he was able to carry his cross.
Yes, God.
He was able to carry that cross. And as a result of his obedience unto you, they thought that the climax would be his death, when in all actuality, the climax was his resurrection.
Yes.
And so we thank you, Father,
thank you, Lord. Thank
for your son revealing himself unto us, and that all power has been given into his hands.
Yes.
And we appreciate you for that which you have done through your son. And we thank you, Father, that we are your disciples and we are followers of him. And we pray for this world that lives would be changed and transformed by you, using us to minister unto them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank God for Pastor Starling. Earlier, we had a conversation on the phone, and he was reminding me of this clip that his wife sent him. He could probably tell the shared clip.
This is about this this gentleman. The Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is telling him to read his Bible. But he tells the Holy Spirit in a minute he's busy doing something. You know, he's on his phone, on his Instagram or Twitter or something. Wait till it's over. And so when it was over, the Holy Spirit said, okay, now, read your Bible. And then he said, well, my mom wanted me to cut the grass. After I cut the grass, I'll read my Bible. And then after he finished cutting the grass, the Holy Spirit said, okay, you're finished. Now come on and I'll read your Bible. But he found something else to do.
That's right.
Until he was sitting on his bed and he fell asleep and not taking time to read his Bible. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, he got up looking for the Holy Spirit, but he had grieved the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's important, you know, for us to put the word of God first. And put prayer first.
Right.
Put it first. The world isn't doing it. And God, I thank God for giving us the understanding to do it. And so let us do it.